you, PJ. Turn to Romans chapter 16, the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter number 16. Let's jump in together here. I got quite a few verses I'd like to read this morning. Usually I do that when my message is not real good. I just read a lot of verses. And thank you, Miss Deborah. Appreciate that so much. Good to know y'all are encouraging me. Boy, I tell you, music is supposed to get you ready for the message, and I hope the congregational sing as well as the specials has done that for you this morning. Romans 16, we begin in verse number 1. Our focus has been for this month on serving the Lord. And one of the interesting things that I hope has occurred for all of us is that each one of us has done a little bit of examination and maybe a little bit of introspection to look on the inside, not look around and see who else ain't doing something, but look at us and what have I done? What am I doing in with my Christian life and walk in order that I might serve the Lord? And I'm afraid sometimes I've been guilty of studying the subject of serving the Lord and not serving Him like I should. You can get wrapped up in the paperwork of it, if you will, or the knowledge of it and not actually do it. I mean, you can study in the classroom about how to build a house, but it's different to actually go out and build a house. You can study in the office a little bit about serving the Lord, but it's different when you actually leave that room and go out and get involved and, so to speak, get your hands dirty. And it sort of dawned on me that in the process of talking about the subject of service and preaching, and we've been teaching on it this month, that we haven't actually named a whole lot of people who serve the Lord. And yet in the Bible, there's a lot of them that are named. I don't know a better place than Romans chapter 16 to read of a number of people. There are a total of some 35 people that are listed here by name, plus another two that are unnamed in this chapter, where the Apostle Paul, as he finishes writing the letter to the church at Rome, where he identifies these people. I'm going to bet this, most of you will not know these people. Now, if I said Jesus, everybody knows Him. If I even said Moses, I could say Joshua. There's a whole lot of people in the Bible I could name. Even in the New Testament, if I were to name the Apostle Paul or maybe Timothy, some of those you would know. If I named some of the apostles, you would know. But these people I'm about to read to you, and I hope I pronounce their names right. If I don't, they're not here to correct me, thankfully. So please don't none of y'all do it after church. I'm doing the best I can. But let's begin in verse 1, and let's notice some faithful servants of God. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And we know from the book of Acts that's a husband and wife pair, one of the great couples of the New Testament, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, which is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. That's a fellow, first one that got saved in that region of Asia. Verse number 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachus, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Bible scholars believe those were twin girls, actually, who labored together for the Lord, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Many believe that Rufus is the son of Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross for Jesus up the hill, up to Calvary. Verse 14, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ Jesus salute you. By the way, I'm glad we shake hands around here instead of kissing one another, ain't you? It's all right if family members do it, but I don't want some of you men coming up and kissing me. Not that I want the women either, by the way. Let me move on. I'll get myself in trouble if I'm not careful. Skip over with me, if you would, to verse number 21 as he picks up the listing of these servants who were faithful. Timotheus, you know him as Timothy, my workfellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. That was Paul's secretary, if you would, that actually did the penmanship. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, that would be like the city treasurer. And Quartus, meaning the fourth. Somebody said maybe he was just known as number four around there. Not number one, not number two, not number three, just number four. But Quartus, a brother. And then he closes with this remark, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And at the end of the chapter, verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. What I want to call to your attention this morning as we think about these, the different people who are listed. Again, as I said, I bet most of those, you've never heard their names. Unless you've read through them or read over them. And sometimes we hit those names like in 1st and 2nd Chronicles in the Old Testament. We see them, we're like, I can't pronounce that and I can't pronounce that. And we seemingly skip over them. But I want you to understand this. God gave us a Bible that is an eternal book. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall never pass away. That means then that though we may pass over and these people who are unnoticed and almost unnamed to us are forever in the canon of Scripture. They're forever remembered by God. They're forever noticed by God. It's an encouragement to me to know this, that sometimes when we think nobody's noticing what we're doing and serving the Lord, God is noticing. There'll never be a day that you do anything from your heart for God that He doesn't take note of it. He puts our tears in a bottle, showing His compassion for us when we're going through some tough times. And He cares about every tear that falls down our cheek. But He also cares about every ounce of labor that we put forth for God. Again, unknown, unnoticed by us, but surely noticed by God. They are called in these verses servants. They're called helpers, well-beloved, laborers, approved of God and of the Lord. In the Lord they are people, chosen brethren and saints. I won't go back through the whole list of them. It just seems that as they stand out to me, that though I have a little bit of trouble trying to say their names, these contacts that Paul made in his labor for the Lord were great people. These were notable individuals. These were faithful servants. Where would our churches be without faithful servants? Where would we be without somebody that taught Sunday school faithfully? Where would we be without somebody who fills a pulpit or who maybe takes care of cleaning a church or does those unsung jobs, taking out the trash, and some those jobs that have to be done but nobody notices? And by the way, none of us are supposed to be doing those. From this position to any other position, we're not supposed to be doing this for eye service or to be men pleasers. We're supposed to be doing it for God. Nobody ought to have to pat us on the back, even though it is nice to get that occasionally. Nobody should have to do that to keep you serving God. These people, again, unnoticed, virtually unnamed among us, even though they're in the Bible, we don't ever pat them on the back, but God sure did take notice of them. And I want you to think about them as a contact, a companion, genuine Christians who were servants who labored right alongside the Apostle Paul. Had they not chosen this path, they never would have hit the path and intersected with Paul's life. What a missing of opportunity and service and blessing had they not chosen that path of service. I'm ever so grateful to God. As I get older, I look back on it more as to how the Lord crossed my path with certain people. If I could be honest today, I would not know Earl Kicklider if I hadn't made a choice to serve the Lord and he hadn't made a choice to serve the Lord. A dear friend of this church is Dean Herring, that most of you know, and you know how much we all respect Brother Herring as he's pastoring out there in Idaho. Had I not made a choice to serve the Lord, he not made a choice to serve the Lord, our paths would have never crossed. Think about it for a moment. Whose path have you crossed that's been a blessing and an influence to your life that would never have happened had you not chosen to serve the Lord and they not chosen to serve the Lord. But because you both chose that path, which was God's will, it made your lives intersect with one another. And once y'all came together, you were richer for having met that person, and they were richer for having met you. Your lives were influenced and changed and maybe transformed to a great degree, all because somebody decided they were going to serve the Lord. On the other hand, think about what you're missing out on when you choose not to serve Him. When you decide to be selfish and self-centered and it's all about me and I'm the center of the universe and we're going to make sure everything goes in my direction, and all of a sudden you put off serving God, you delay it through procrastination, or you make some choice that takes you on a whole nother avenue or another direction completely, and you miss out on serving the Lord. But what you're also missing out on is the blessings that come to you through the people you meet on that path. What a blessing, what a help, what an example these people are that we've read about. I tend to read them, and one or two of them stands out to me. And I'm not going to necessarily tell you about all of them, but Priscilla and Aquila stand out big time to me because they're a couple who decided as a young couple they would give their heart and their house for the service of God. Somebody probably said, well, we're just a bunch of individual Christians here in town. Why don't we get together? Where are we going to get together? And they said, why don't y'all come over to my house? The hospitality and the help and the encouragement that Priscilla and Aquila were is a tremendous blessing to get the early church started. There was a great preacher in the book of Acts by the name of Apollos. And Apollos would have never turned out like he did to be such an eloquent speaker for Jesus had Priscilla and Aquila, this couple, took him into their home and better explained to him the things of Christ than what he originally knew. He was just a young, immature Christian, only knowing about John the Baptist and his ministry. But they took him in and unfolded before him what the Lord had revealed to them. Their service for God didn't just affect them, it affected other people. Paul's noting of these people, not just them, but certainly Rufus, as I mentioned, stands out. And even some where he mentions a sister there that's just mentioned in verse number 15, Nereus and his sister. We don't even know who his sister is. How many of y'all have a sister? Would you raise your hand? Okay, is your sister an idiot? Would you raise your hand also? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I hope she's not sitting anywhere near you. Mine's 100 miles from here, so don't tell her I said this. And I'm sure she feels the same way about me. I was 12 and a half, almost 13 years old when my sister was born. And I can remember so many things about her. And it's funny, isn't it, how that you take for granted people in your family? Am I the only one that does that? Or have y'all been there too? But you know, the fact is, growing up with a sister like that, I guarantee you I could have never gone very long without mentioning her name. I mean, I can't go through life and not at least call attention to her. And here in the Bible, all of a sudden, we find a sister of Nereus. And somebody probably said, Nereus, what's your sister name? He said, just put sister in there. That'd be fine. And that's just one way that a brother would rib a sister forever. The Lord included my name, but He'd put yours in there. That's the kind of thing I would tell my sister, you know, just to kind of rub it in just a little bit. But I just look at those, and certainly Timothy stands out. Now, my point in saying that is this. Find you somebody. Well, you want me to read the Bible and pick somebody special? Well, everybody's got a favorite. David's not a favorite of somebody's here. Maybe Timothy's one of your favorites. Here's what I found. When you find somebody in the Bible that their life, their testimony, their service impresses you, you'll study them. You'll learn a little bit more about them. And before you know it, you might try to use them as a hero that you might emulate. That'd be better than picking LeBron. I know everybody picks LeBron. Or maybe be somebody like, Puig? Puig? I can't hardly say it right. The Dodgers baseball player. Now, again, I'm not trying to throw off on anybody, but I'm saying this much. You could do better than some of the heroes that are in the sports world or the entertainment world. It fascinates me how people are fascinated with some of the complete idiots that are relegated to Hollywood. All they got to do is get on the screen and pretend they're somebody they ain't, and everybody falls head over heels over. Or somebody gets something. and goes through some crazy rap stuff, and everybody, you can't understand what they're saying, and if you do understand, it's a bunch of cuss words, and everybody said, man, that's awesome. Well, it looks like they could get a little bit, or some, your cheating heart. I said that for you, Miss Rosemary. I don't mean throw off on Hank. But my point is, don't you know that when we hear, we automatically attach ourselves to these important people? And listen to me. There ain't nobody more important than those who serve God. These people serve the Lord, and they're written down in the Bible for all of eternity for us to note, to remember, to take a little bit of a inventory of and see what is there a lot about Aquila and Priscilla. Maybe you would say Phoebe. Well, I'd like to know more about her. Could I challenge you to study the lives of the servants of God? It may make a difference in who you are. Let me read you this. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice? Which is simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which we can never repay. Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward and helpful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege, anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing the common conveniences of this life. These may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing compared to the glory which shall later be revealed in and through us. I have never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which He made, who left His Father's throne on high to give Himself for us. That was written by David Livingston, who literally opened up the continent of Africa for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave his life to the Lord in service. My point is, when I read these examples, it challenges me to be a better servant. When I read about a life like David Livingston, it challenges me to be a better servant. It gives me someone to look up to find heroic character in their life and want to be like that. I'm not satisfied with my service for God. And I hope I am never satisfied to the point where I've done enough, just let me sit back, I don't want to do anything else. God help us to remain faithful servants for the Lord. Let me give you three quick things and I'm done. First, these are definite people. They're definite servants. What I mean by that, these are not made up. This is not Little Red Riding Hood. You know, this is not Mother Goose type stories. These are not fictional mythology people. These are real live individuals, real human beings with flesh and bone, just like you and me. They had their own burdens and their hardships. Many of them risked their life and lost their life or were in prison. Some of them were fellow prisoners with the Apostle Paul, all because they decided to serve the God. They were friends of his, and they are no mere list to him. We read it. I could give you a handout with all their names. We could memorize those names. And they'd only be people on a list to us, but not to Paul. These were people who had hazarded their life for him, for a church somewhere, for a family, for the cause of Christ. These are real, definite, genuine people who actually existed. I could tell you about a few that I've met along the way, and I'm sure you could tell me about a few that you've met along the way. I still remember a dear lady that was in our church when I, over 30 years ago, when I was pastoring in Moultrie, Georgia. And I still remember being there. Mrs. Piles was her name. She lived just down the road from us. She's one I've told some of you about before. And our church, we only had two sets of pews, and they were theater seats that had not been fastened down. And so if you ran real hard, hit one, there'd be a domino effect and knock the entire church bunch down. Well, Miss Pyle sat over on the left over here, and I remember one service that I was preaching, and I was waxing eloquent that day, and I heard her go, "Woo!" And I thought, man, I am hitting it, Brother Gary. I'm on today. And this is a bass hit, a double, a home, and I preached a little bit more, and she went, "Woo!" It's like that. And I said, oh my heaven. And you know, you get to talking like that and you start hacking like a prayer. And the God said, and you know, you just get wrapped up and the emotion gets the best of you. And then I got a little bit more powerful and she finally went, woo! And I looked over that time and I saw a rat run along the wall. And I realized it wasn't my preaching at all. It was a rat run loose. What was that song that came out, that country song, A Squirrel Got Loose and They Had a Revival? Listen, if I thought it'd help y'all, I'd put a whole bunch of them out in church here and tie my britches leg up. But anyway, I'm just saying these are, I can tell you about people, just a little old lady, most of what she did was clean the church and help in the nursery. And when we had a meal, she'd fix a certain thing, maybe cream corn and some acre peas that she might fix and bring. And it was a little thing. These are not, looks like she converted the continent of Africa or anything like that. Just little things she did, but her service for God, I noticed it. And I believe there's somebody bigger than me that saw it. Don't think that a little thing you do is not important. Little is much, as we sang earlier, when God is in it. These are definite, real people. And I'm sure there's somebody, I could talk forever about the different people that the Lord's brought across my path that because of their service for God impacted my life, changed me, helped me, kept me from going in the wrong direction. I bet you can think of somebody. Same way. They're definite, real people. Number two, they are diverse. They're men and women. They're single people. They're married people. They're older people. And they're younger people. There are some that probably are more political than others are. Some may be just on the back burner, as we might say, just they don't want to be in the limelight. I've no doubt that some of these are probably like, please don't put my name down. I don't want anybody to know. But God wanted them to be known. And when I say diverse, I simply mean that they're all different, but they were all useful. They're different people. They're from different places. They have different backgrounds. But doesn't it amaze you to look and see how God uses so many different people and places and personalities? We've been praying so much, and I hope you will keep Brother Stringer in prayer as the mom and pop Stringer's here to help take care of the children, but they keep changing things so that we don't know exactly what the next step is other than they want him to lose down more of his water weight that's on him, so keep him in prayer. And y'all can tell him I said this about him this morning, but is not Andrew Stringer an unusual personality? I wish all of you had knew him like we do, and I'm sure mom and dad could probably talk more about it. But what an unusual personality. Isn't Alvin LaRue an unusual personality? Isn't Jesse Duct Tape up here, an unusual personality? I mean, everybody's just a little bit. Brother Reynolds, I know in your travels, besides yourself being weird, I know you know many other people that are a little bit weird. Wes Crystal is, of all the people I know, he's one of them. Well, move on. But Mike, we can go through our whole group here, and aren't we all just a little weird? How in the world does God take a bunch of weirdos, me accepted, of course, and put us in a group together and accomplish things for His honor and for His glory? I mean, Yankees? What? What? And God's people, those of us down south. Californians? I know Minnesota, Michigan. Johnny, where are you from? Oh, Lord help me. And, okay, Indiana. And us people down here in the south, we're the only people that talk right. I don't know if y'all have noticed that or not. We're the only people that talk right. We don't have an accent or anything like that. And Arkansas? Okay. Any other states represented? New York? Dave, New York, got any others? How about any from a foreign country? Florida? Thank you, Florida, okay. I've noticed that Sonic commercial on television, they talk about Florida and they say it's like another planet. So see, I haven't been wrong all these years, I've been right. Now what is my point in all this? I'm not just flapping my jaws, I'm trying to say this. We're all from different areas. We had different upbringings. We're different people. We're different personalities. And from male to female, that's a completely different animal in itself. Old and young alike. We're all different. Those who are married and those who are not married. We're all different, but God puts us together that we can serve and that we can serve together and that we can serve Him and we can serve each other. And many times we forget that. The last thing, and I'm finished, is faithful servants are also dedicated. These people are not written here because they were fly-by-nights or fly-by-the-seat-of-the-britches or flashes in the pan, as we might say. These are not people that said on Sunday morning, "You count on me," and then you don't see them Sunday night. "Hey, I'll be there with revival. I'll be there every night of revival. Don't you worry." And then they don't come back after the first night. You can count on them. You can count on them. You can count on them. And that's one of the things I think. It's not because that they are necessarily such great charactered individuals, though I do believe that's some of it, but I believe they had yielded themselves to the Lord. It wasn't all about how concrete they were in their personality, but it was this: I want to honor the Lord. I want to be true to God. And if I'm going to serve Him, I should serve Him consistently, and I should serve Him with a compassionate heart, and I should just make sure that I'm doing this in a dedicated manner, so that whether it is my service or my sacrifice or my steadfastness, you can count on me. That's the kind of people they were to Paul, but that's the kind of people they were to God. Listen to me. Don't promise me something that you're not willing to promise God about. What I mean by that is, don't commit yourself to men and then turn around. It's easy to break a commitment to a man sometimes. Let's make our commitments and our dedication, let it be to God. And let's be first and foremost those who serve the Lord with all of our hearts. Let me close with this. Some of you would recognize the name William Borden. William Borden was an interesting individual. In 1904, he became the heir to the famous Borden Dairy Estates. Borden Milk, many of you may have grown up with. He graduated from a Chicago high school as a millionaire. Can you imagine that? You graduate from high school, get your high school diploma, you're a millionaire. His family, in order to reward him for graduation, sent him on a tour around the world. And traveling through Asia and the Middle East and Europe, it gave him a great burden for the hurting people of the world. In other words, he wasn't just selfish about his money. He began to care. Writing back home, he said this: "I'm going to give my life." After he graduates high school, now he's on this world tour with all this money. "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." When he made this decision, he wrote in the back of his Bible two words: "No reserves." He was going to give up the fortune and the fame and the millions. No reserves. Turning down a high-paying job that was offered to him upon graduation from Yale University, he entered two more words in his Bible. So he goes back and finishes college. He writes two more words in his Bible: "No retreats." No reserves, no retreats. Completing his studies at Princeton Seminary, Borden sailed for China to work with Muslims, stopping first in Egypt for some preparation. While he was there, he was stricken with cerebral meningitis and died within a month, never making it to the mission field. A waste, some would say, but not in God's plans. When they shipped his body back and they had his Bible inside the coffin, they took it out. They noticed those words: "No reserves, no retreats." And at the end of it, he wrote two more words: "No regrets." Can I say this to you this morning? These people we read about in Romans 16, I believe every one of them say this: "I chose to serve God. No reserves, no retreats," but I guarantee you they'd say no regrets. "I regret many of my failures before God in my service, but I do not regret the decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I do not regret the choice I made to give my heart and life to Him to preach His Word. I do not regret decisions I made to serve God." The greatest decision you'll ever make is to put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the second thing you'll do after that is to decide to serve Him with your life, and write like Borden did: "No regrets." When we leave this life and go to be before Him to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it'll be because we made up our mind to serve Him and we put that first. Dedicated, diverse, but real, definite people just like us. Let's ask God to continue to use us. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, thank you for your word, for the opportunity this morning to share it with your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring about a real change in us when it comes to serving you. Help us to be more faithful, more committed. Help us to make some real decisions that puts us on a path to serve you, because we no telling where that may lead us, Lord. And thank you that we can have no regrets when we choose to do things for you. Help those who may be here today that are unsaved. They don't know anything about serving God. They need to know you as personal Lord and Savior. And I pray, God, that you'll work in their hearts this morning and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Help them to realize how much they need him. And then, Lord, for those who carry burdens today, thank you that you're there. And as we try to serve you, even in the moments when we're carrying heavy burdens, thank you that you're there to bear up under the load with us and help us tote it. Thank you that we can come unto you, those of us that are heavy laden, and you'll give us rest. And then, Lord, for those who are here today who certainly need your encouragement and help, that they're doing a task that maybe nobody else notices, and they wonder if it's worth it. And Lord, thank you that it is worth it to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bless this invitation. Deal in the hearts of your people, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed.